bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Neath, Kyler Carrasco behind the glass taking care of us. The Astros were victorious yesterday in Game 1 against the Guardians. They'll be back at it in Game 2 tonight. Now just a half game back behind the Rangers in the AL West. It is a 6:40 start time here on The Score for Game 2 of 3. The Rangers were off yesterday. They'll be at home against the White Sox. That is a 6:30 start time over on Double T 97.3. What have you made of the AL West race this year, Sneed?
It's going to be interesting all the way down to the end. And more interesting is that the Angels, who are really 6-7 games out of the final wild card spot, have decided that we're buyers. Mm-hmm. We're not sellers. We're buyers. And, Artie Moreno, hey, congratulations. You know, you've got – I think it's a mistake. I think they – because you're going to let the best player in Major League Baseball walk and get nothing for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jamie and Chuck were talking about it this morning. Actually, I think it was Jamie and Choice were talking about it. And the perception of being the guy that traded away one of the best players, I don't look at it like that. I see it as I had to make a move for the betterment of my franchise, for my franchise 10 years from now, as opposed to my franchise 10 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. And that's what Artie Moreno's doing right now, is that he's banking on that he's going to be in the postseason, and he and having the best player will get him a run to the World Series. I just don't see it. Your pitching's, well, I almost said a bad word. Your pitching's not good.
Well, and I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. How did we feel if Shohei Ohtani would actually get traded from the Angels? I'm not surprised that they're not trading him. I am surprised how quickly they pulled him off the block. Because what I expected to happen was, in their mind, they weren't going to get the value that they thought they would.
They would have. If they had kept it, they would have gotten the value. It's just a matter of what they thought the value was.
Sure.
I mean,
Well, that's what I like. You're like Chris Young, their perception, where they're going.
Angels GM, I'm calling about your Shohei Ohtani. And what does Artie Moreno say? Okay, I'm going to need your first runner this year, next year, mm-hmm. the year after that, and Josh Young and Aroldis Garcia. Adolis Garcia. Something stupid like that. And your top two prospects in your farm system. That's probably what the reality was when they were talking about it. The real value on that is probably you're talking about a pick, mm-hmm. a first-round pick. You're talking about one of your top end starters, everyday nine guys, and at least one to two potentially really good prospects. Mm-hmm. That's the where the discussion needs to be for Ohtani. It doesn't need to be two everyday players right now, you know, multiple first round picks over there over the next couple of years. That shouldn't be it, but we're never going to know. Now we're just going to see him get $950 million over the next 10 years from probably the Mets or the Phillies or maybe the Orioles.
We get this on the chat line. You cannot trade picks in Major League Baseball, right? You're just saying the actual names that were picked, not draft picks.
You're right. You can't trade picks. That's right.
I thought you were saying.
No, I actually was saying that, though, and the texture is correct. I got my
cowherded. You cowherded. You got a lot of heat there. That.
Where Snyder was right. Where Snyder was wrong.
The separate discussion, though, of that is, do I think they should have? Yes, because unless after this offseason, somehow miraculously they convince him. Because can they pay him? Sure. Are other teams coming in with a better shot at a World Series that he probably wants to go to that can also pay him? Absolutely. So unless they miraculously have said, hey, you know,
well, they're looking at it like
discussion
this.
Behind closed door, if we keep him, he said he would like to stay and he'll sign on as long as we give him a bunch of money, which I don't think is happening.
No,
then
he's not staying
with you. That would be worth it. That would be worth it, but
you.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, yes, you can pay him a bunch of money, but the fact of the matter is not going to change the fact that you're on the West Coast because he's the best player in baseball and three quarters of the country doesn't get to see him at all. Barely, because his games, when the East Coast is in sleep, that's when his games are going on, unless he's playing on the East Coast. So, sorry, I mean, if I'm New York, I'm not staying up till 2 a.m. to see the end of the Angels game on the West Coast.
I don't see it as a coast situation because I think if he's with the Dodgers, I think
that's a different deal if he's with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a different deal.
I do agree that you are looking, if you're Ohtani, to go to a place that has eyes on you because what coincides with that, you're also winning and you're competing and you're not with a franchise that has now wasted two of the best baseball players we've seen in the past 20 years.
I would agree with you.
And so that goes hand in hand with going to a winning squad. But I agree, he's going to a team with eyes on him.
I think you're talking
where
about,
he's not the lone reason.
Exactly. I would suspect that you're probably looking at Phillies, Yankees, Mets. Interesting. Orioles is an interesting name that I heard in the last couple of days for the first time. And, you know, that Metro, Baltimore, D.C. area. That's an interesting deal. I don't think the Nats are going to be a player in that deal. You know, a place I had heard one time from one dude, I thought, that's not going to happen. I thought, pretty international city. Miami.
Oh,
I heard Miami, and I was like,
That's interesting.
It is. Yeah. I mean, and I was like, I had one guy, heard one guy say that on one show, and I was like, that's an interesting thought, you know, but, you know, that's a mostly international city.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, when you start thinking about what other places make sense, you know, on the East Coast, you know, there's probably really not anymore. Maybe the Braves, you know, but that's not really the market you're talking about. If you're going to go all the way somewhere else, you're talking about putting the guy in like major, you're talking about top four media markets.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not in the middle of the country, not flyover country. So Chicago, I can't see you going to the Cubs or something like that.
Yeah. Again, I don't think it happens. Just Miami is a very interesting.
It just went, huh.
That is a friendly market with a big market, and that market loves their superstars. And Shohei Ohtani would be.
I mean, remember
right up
just
there
showed up in
there.
That market, you know, and showed up on a last place team. It was Lionel Messi just shows up and. All of a sudden,
could you imagine the buzz between Messi if Ohtani were to end up there, and then whenever the Damian Lillard trade works out, which I think that's the smallest of the three, and not just height wise.
Wow.
But as far as a buzz in their own city for professional athletes, I mean that's like win.
You got Tua, Ohtani, Dame Lillard, and Messi all in the same city. First of all, you're gonna have to get one. Hell of a translator.
you think Tua lasts much longer there? I'm not a Tua believer personally.
Tua's a tremendous quarterback. Got to deal a number of his games when he was at Bama. Those concussions are a real thing, man. Yeah. And that is two back to back like he had. Oof. If he has another one like that, he's just got to, for his own long term health, well being. He's got to just say, I gotta walk away from the game.
And I'm Tua neutral. I don't dislike Tua. I'm not like I'm rooting for him. But in that situation, because I just think that is smart for your long time. Mm-hmm. Like I would be rooting for him to hang it up.
You know, you said a couple of weeks ago we were talking. Was it? No, was it not you? You wasn't you. It was last week. We had a question. Who was someone? One of the texters asked, "Who are the best guys you've ever been on the field with?" And I said, "Bryce Young." Mm-hmm. Tua Tagovailoa. Was a good dude. Tua, I mean, I had Tua a couple times in the season. And you know, how many times you meet somebody in a day? And you know, when he remembers your name, you know, game to game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you have him in game two, and you got him again in game eight. And he's like, hey, Chris, what's going on? You know, and it's guys like that do things like that are the cool cats.
It's someone who's like over here terrible at names.
No, I'm terrible at names too.
Especially if it's like an in passing, like you're in a group of 10 and you're like, this is this person. Hey, nice to meet you all.
Yeah.
You will have to tell me this all again.
A thousand percent. 1,000%.
I'm not trying to be rude. It's just how my brain is wired. I apologize in advance. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions. When we come back, it's time for a feisty play of the day. Keep it right.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Shout out to our AM 950 listeners, Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Tyler Carrasco behind the glass, taking care of us. We take you all the way up to 3 o'clock. At that time, it's Tech Talk over on Double T 97.3 with Aaron Dickens and Dr. Mike Gustafson. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions. From T-Money, voting in Arizona should be a very smooth process from everything we've seen over the years.
Say what?
Do you think it will be a...
What voting process?
For
what?
Arizona?
Oh, okay. I was like, what are we talking about? What now?
Do you think it will be a smooth voting process for the Wildcats?
Yes. Yes.
I think it
now, the
too.
Interesting thing is that something that was we started hearing yesterday afternoon during Tech Talk is that the other three corners, which is really interesting because New Mexico is not really part of this deal, but Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah are working together
mm-hmm.
now. And it's really becoming interesting is like, are we going to go ahead and just take the four corners and just kind of turn your shoulder to Washington and Oregon? I think it's actually kind of a brilliant move. If your intent is to actually get to 18, it's kind of a brilliant move.
Well, that, if you were to get to 18, that would have to be the route
that
you went.
Yeah, because you get to 18 and, well, you get to 16 and then you kind of, you know, well, you know, Oregon and Washington have really reached out to us and we've mm-hmm. discussed this, and we think we'd like to open the door. And then you leverage those guys to the hilt on grants of rights mm-hmm. so that they can't go anywhere.
Because I think, you know, and it should be. That should be a concern. Even if as soon as Colorado joined or as soon as they got the numbers this morning, you had Oregon and Washington knocking at your door saying, hey, Commissioner Yormark, we're sorry for ignoring all those other calls or
yeah.
laughing in your face or whatever the case may be. And they went, hey, we changed our mind. We really would like to be a part of the Big 12 if that offer is there. And you go, yeah. okay, is that a we're wanting to stay or is that we're looking at our next 5 years?
Yeah.
Right? Because that should be a concern because it's not hidden, tucked away underground somewhere that Oregon and Washington wants to go to the Big Ten. It's been reported numerously and widely, and they haven't really, they've never really denied that.
Yeah,
which is funny,
and because they're quickly running out of options,
mm-hmm.
and if they're smart, and they should be smart, they're sitting around saying, "Hey, you know that Big Ten invite's not coming anytime soon." Mm-hmm. And we've got a Big 12 invite right now because if we don't do that, our choices are to play in the Mountain West or play an independent schedule. And we're not Notre Dame.
If there's any sort of concern and they go from the get-go and they say, yeah. Or I say from the get-go. You're not from the get-go anymore. It's 13 freaking months since mm-hmm. this whole process started. But from the get-go now, if they say, hey, yeah, we're in, we are interested, we saw the numbers, we're ready to go, and there was, let's say, even like a, let's go 50% to 25% worry that they would go to the Big Ten, if there ever would be an offer, do you still take them? If there yeah, was a chance yeah, you only if, got them for 5 years, do you take
I,
them?
I still think I do, because I think you know, the landscape of college football is going to change immensely in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And just because they have a Big Ten invite, potential invite now, just because they have interest from the Big Ten now, doesn't mean they're going to have interest from the Big Ten in 5 years. Because if the grant of rights blows up on the ACC, I mean, mm-hmm. Clemson and Florida State are gone. North Carolina and Virginia, probably right behind them to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. And so this is where, if you're Oregon and Washington, from a Big Ten perspective, as much as I talked mm-hmm. about the Big 12
yeah.
could be patient, and they have been and are and were and all of that, the Big Ten obviously is even in a much, much better boat. If yours is a very safe, you know, very secure dinghy, theirs is like a freaking yacht right mm-hmm. now. It just is. And with the Big Ten, why would you confine yourself again to pulling the trigger now, even on a great on really good brands in Oregon and Washington? And so if you're the Ducks or the Huskies, regardless of what happens with the Big Ten, if you are trying to wait it out, or if you find a way to jump ship and you do come to the Big 12, but not in a way that's going to tie you down, if that were to work out, which I think would be a dream scenario for both of those schools right now, you're still going to have to wait on the ACC timeline and what the Big Ten and the SEC do from there and divide it up.
That's exactly right. Because at the end of the day, I'm starting to believe that the three conferences consisting of 20 teams each is really going to happen. I'm starting to believe that more and more and more. And that's going to be a merry-go-round where when the music stops, you don't want to be left without a seat. Because that is going to be, once that's established, those 60 teams are going to be driving the bus, and everybody else is going to be an also-ran. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be sitting at the bus stop when that music stops.
Shout out Cal.
Cal, I don't think they even care.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it matter to them? I don't think it actually does.
I mean, that is so, it's embarrassing that they've had this golden ticket all these years and they just don't care.
I see what you did. Golden ticket.
Oh, I didn't even try.
Well, it was great. It was great anyways. Yeah. Really well done. Let's get in a feisty play of the day, shall we? That was in last night's win over the Guardians, part of a four-run inning there in the sixth, as they ultimately take that one and again close into half a game back from the Rangers after a 7-3 win. They'll be in action again tonight, 6:40, right here, 100.7 The Score. The Rangers will be kicking off a series with the White Sox at home, 6:30 start time, over on Double T 97.3. After a 3.5-hour tech talk, we got this on the chat line. Euronics need a hate watching animals die. I am, however, loving watching this. In reference to the Pac-12.
Yeah, just probably. I mean, I don't love watching animals die. Have you ever actually done that?
Watch an animal die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not fun. And then that's, I mean, here's the.
This is a great segue to Kaylee's Daily.
I am excited because of what's going to take place this afternoon. The landscape of college football is going to change this afternoon, mm-hmm. because one, two, or three teams are going to change conferences in the next week, and it's going to be precipitated by the meeting that's happening right now on the West Coast. Is that right now?
It started early this morning. I assume it's still going on at this point.
I expect that sometime here, you're going to see that the Board of Regents in Arizona has voted to accept an invitation from the Big 12. And the question is that just Arizona? Is that Arizona and Arizona State? And if it's Arizona and Arizona State, you know Utah's not far behind. What about us? What about us? What about us? I mean, if I'm your mark, I'd be like, who is this? And they're calling up, bring, 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 Big 12. Is there still a spot for us in the Big 12? Who is this?
Now, speaking of that, with the meetings going on today, Jason Scheer, who I think has been the most calm, cool-headed, very realistic with his reporting and not trying to spin an angle or anything like that. Of course, he's linked in with Arizona. He reported Jed Fish, head football coach of the Wildcats, was on a Zoom call with the parents of every player and told them Arizona will not take a bad deal and will know where they will be soon.
Yeah,
they're read not, into that what you want.
They're not taking this whatever this, you know, streaming slash whatever thing that he's presenting right now. They're not going to do that. I mean, why would you do that?
Yeah. Now, Fish is a head football coach, not like in control over there, but probably in the know. And if that's what he's telling parents on Zoom calls, that's essentially like a Zoom parent football coach realignment little mini press conference there. He's having to answer questions on. But we'll know soon. As he said, it's the bottom line, 100.7, the score back.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7, the score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7, the score, and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Kyler Carrasco behind the glass. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that, welcome there. The Pac-12 met this morning. Everyone's been waiting to see what has come from it, and now it looks like the news, again, feels like no news. Numbers were presented. Nothing has been leaked out. This from Ross Dellinger. And several people reporting on this, of course, you know, waiting to jump on this. Pac-12 presidents and ADs, as expected, met this morning and were presented with details of a TV deal. Executives left the hour-long meeting with no agreement, but with the expectation of eventually concluding a deal. Another meeting is planned soon. Now, the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees Arizona and Arizona State and Northern Arizona, they are still meeting today. While Ross Dellinger reported, while most are not expecting a vote or a decision at that meeting, the topic of the TV deal will certainly be discussed, again, as expected on that side. But pushing back again.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just trying to continue to get these Pac-12 teams to hold off making a decision and keep promising, hey, we've got something coming. Something big coming. Be ready. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this. And clearly that's really not the case.
This is just me guessing behind closed doors, but at the same time, I feel like it's a pretty educated guess here with how things are leaked. Since you were not seeing the numbers, shocker, as expected, they were not good numbers. And they weren't palatable numbers. And then, I mean, what's the tone as Kliavkov? You're clear that he sets down the numbers of what's brought to the table. They do not agree, or can't at least come to a conclusion as it's worded. Is it begging? Hey, let's just meet again. We'll see what happens. Or is it trying to, like, have faux confidence and, like, we will meet again and we will figure this out. Come on, everybody. Hands in, Pac-12.
I think it's begging for patience. Hey, just be patient here. We got something coming. You know, don't have to worry about things. I know there's plenty out there that are panicking, but there's no reason to panic here. Actually, I think there is.
There's a huge... it's been 13 months, and you haven't been able to figure it out. And by the way, again, this is not shocking, but you are having to take several steps back when part of that deal included Colorado. And this is where part of the significance of them leaving is just the fact that a Pac-12 school left. Because I've seen a lot like, hey, now that I've had time to sit on this and think about it, you know, Colorado, not just the most exciting brand on their own. Colorado, boy, what have they done recently on the field? What have they done with wins and losses? What is their big pull? How much is that Denver market worth? You know, whatever route you want to go. And the baseline is you were taking a team that was being presented on that list to these networks out of the equation. And it doesn't matter what that Jenga piece is. That is still a Jenga piece that will help the Pac-12 or hurt the Pac-12, rather, into a tumbling fashion where this is why, as you look at these numbers that aren't, you know, mysteriously being thrown out to reporters and being held tight, it's because you're having to start over in some aspect with this.
Yeah, sure.
And those numbers weren't going to go up after this. You weren't going to have networks go, oh, actually, you know that offer we gave you? Now that Colorado's gone, why don't we throw in a couple more million per school, huh? Let's take that same pool and we'll cut it between nine. How does that sound, Mr. Klyavkov?
Mm.
Like, no, it's just...
Nah.
It is... I know you're right with the tone is begging, but it has been begging.
Yeah.
Or it had to have been begging.
You can only
beg
for so long. Sooner or later, you got to come through with something concrete.
Yeah. Man, what a mess. So, in the end for today, at least for now, because we'll see what happens after, you know, you'll have another round of news, so to speak, after Arizona's Board of Regents meetings later this afternoon. But from the Pac-12 meeting together from the ADs and presidents, the news is no news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which again is funny in the world we live in because it is valuable news because mm-hmm. there's nothing agreed upon. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Hey, when did you stop growing?
Up?
yeah, height.
Okay.
Height.
Yeah, probably 10th or 11th grade, probably.
This on the chat line. I grew 3 inches after high school. Growing pains were brutal on those crappy dorm beds.
Mm.
And maybe this person knows that person. Had a neighbor that grew 3 inches in the 6 years after he got married, 23 to 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I kept growing.
D-Rock said, finger wag was Mutombo, not Olajuwon Klint. I know, you said Mutombo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was responding to you.
Not in my house.
Someone wants to know what kind of dog.
It's a half Maltese, half Shih Tzu.
Hmm. Good old Cookie.
Good old Cookie.
Speaking of growth spurts, that's a small-ish dog. Is Cookie done growing?
She has more of the Shih Tzu in her than the Maltese. And my older dog had more of the Maltese in it than Shih Tzu. And Shih Tzus get a little bit bigger. So I think she's already bigger than our other one. And she's not even a year old. So I think she'll keep growing.
This on the chat line. I'm still growing outward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to stop that. It's an ongoing battle.
Chase any prairie dogs lately?
No, I've been a little busy. Haven't been able to do that yet this week. Mm. Yeah, maybe I'll be able to fit it in. Less prairie dog chasing now that the knee's healthy enough to play tennis.
I was figuring you were waiting for it to be healthier so you could like plant and really go after those suckers.
No. No, I just chase tennis balls. The people rifle past me.
Shelly says, my 15-year-old is 6'3", 190. I can't take any more growing.
Mm.
Mm. Mm.
I would like some 6'3".
That's overrated.
Nah, I disagree. I'd like to try.
That's the discussion.
I don't want to be a 7-footer or anything, because then Chuck would be obsessed with me, but I just want to, you know... 6-footer would be good.
And if you were 6'11", it'd be even worse because he'd tell you you're one inch of fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why did you stop? Why did you keep going?
Somebody on the chat line realized that this morning. There, again, the mention of Mason Sharp came up. And
Tharp.
Mason Tharp.
Marsha Sharp.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Clint.
You're welcome.
Mason Tharp, and the twinkle came in his eye. And somebody said that they felt like he was just obsessed with big men. Yeah, you talk about the 7-footers and, you know.
Is he still on the Tharp hopeful train?
He's very excited about, yeah.
I'm not trying, and I say that, I'm not trying to knock Tharp. I hope that everything we hoped about going into last year's.
Yeah, about the tight ends.
About the tight ends as a whole. I hope that does come to fruition. Yeah. Again, I hope it's not something that's forced at the cost of taking away reps from receivers that you clearly believe in and should be excited about, whether they're new faces or young faces or maybe a face looking at a season of redemption like a Miles Price, something like that, or Fungi trying to come back from an injured year. Mm-hmm. Clearly that room is led by Bradley, and there's a lot of excitement about Dre McCray, so I don't want to take anything away from them, but I do hope that you see at least some of almost what was promised to us. We were promised efficient tight ends.
Yes.
I say we because really I felt very strongly about it. And not just Mason Tharp specifically, but again, Baylor Cup and Teeter, the whole room together, which I still think is a talented room. I do hope you have a successful season with that group. But not just because Mason Tharp is 8'2".
Right. Plenty of talent there. So I think you could have a much better season with a tight end. But as we talked about one day, the tight end numbers went way down with Tyler Shuck as the quarterback. He's just a guy who uses receivers more than the tight ends compared to the other two quarterbacks you had last season. But maybe that changes this year.
Hey, when we come back, you twos can go at it and take versus take. It's the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, and 107thescore.com. Keep it right here.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That music means it's time for the fastest growing game show in the world, Take versus Take. You get the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Take us anywhere with you with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. Clint Scott with Jamie Lint and Kyler Carrasco. Kyler and Jamie are your competitors today. Kyler has looked in the zone, is how I would describe her. Is that accurate?
I need a win. I haven't won it. I don't even know. I don't know how many days, a bunch of days.
You know, the last time you said this, Jamie was like, oh, I was like, well, I feel like, yeah, the last time we talked, we found out about your car and everything that just had been going on, and Jamie's like, oh, I feel like I should give you a win, and then went on to try to crush you and went for the throat and put you in a false sense of security. Is that the angle today?
That's the exact angle again. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do my best to let Kyler win today, which is a complete lie.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jamie, let's start with you. What is, we'll call it a one-off type of year, you found yourself rooting for a team in college football that you're usually not a fan of? So if you need an example of what I'm trying to describe, like for me, I am not a Louisville fan. Haven't hated him, haven't liked him, Louisville neutral. But Lamar Jackson's Heisman year at Louisville, I followed them and enjoyed that season immensely from a Louisville Cardinal standpoint.
Okay, I can remember two such scenarios for me, but I can only pick one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Florida State Charlie Ward. I loved Charlie Ward as a quarterback at Florida State. He was a lot of fun to watch.
What was the other one that you didn't pick?
Peyton Manning.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence at Clemson.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I'm going to go with Jamie here because the Charlie Ward one, even though that was before me, is a fun story. Now, Trevor Lawrence was a good story too because it was a player really fitting and filling in the shoes he was supposed to and was like a once in a generation type recruit where you were watching his stuff in high school, mm-hmm. ready for him to get to the NFL. Yep. But both good answers.
And also because he looked like a Hanson brother.
Yes. Yep. Uh-huh. Big fan that he came back and beat the Chargers. I like that Trevor Lawrence even more. Down by a billion points.
What a crazy game.
Oh, that was wild. Actually, it was because it was in the wild card. So, all right, Jamie's mm-hmm. up 1-0. Kyler, you're up first this time. And something that has become an exciting part of Texas Tech home games and football is the announcement of who will be playing each week at Raider Alley. So you are in charge of picking the first act for Raider Alley. The only stipulation that anybody, they won't say no. The only stipulation is they can't have played before. So as much as we'd love to have Shaq Diesel back on this answer, we can't.
Okay. Because I created this band, so I'm going to bring it. It's Not My Choice is going to perform. Their new album is coming out. And they're going to be performing.
So you had the choice of a real band, but you went with choice-led boy band. And forcing him to actually do this for Raider Alley. I can get behind this.
They're going to actually be really good, but everyone's going to, like, see the cover of their coming, and they're going to be like, what is this? But then they're going to end up shocking the world, so.
Can Colony Crew open for them?
Because I just want it. Well, of course, you know I love 80s music, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick Guns N' Roses because I just think you'd get so many, you know, children of the 80s like myself out there, and it would be phenomenal. It was so much fun when Vanilla Ice came and performed during a basketball game.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people that were my age that were just really thoroughly excited about him coming to the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And not that any of us were diehard Vanilla Ice, you know, mm-hmm. fans. I mean, what do you have, like three songs that were actually even pretty popular or even remotely popular? But it was it was such a novelty to have him here.
Yeah.
And so I think Guns N' Roses would bring the same kind of thing.
Yeah, if you're going to go 80s, you have to go ultra recognizable to get the right mix, because with Guns N' Roses,
mm-hmm.
like, you would have the 80s babies that loved mm-hmm. them while they were really, really growing in popularity all the way to the megastars they are now. But they're also big enough that, like, college kids now that are in tech would know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could go like Tears for Fears as much as I would love it, because I don't think that's as popular mm-hmm. of a band now.
Yeah, and I didn't pick Bon Jovi just because I thought you would guess that I would have picked Bon Jovi.
I was curious.
So I just laid off of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie, as much as I would love to see Choice's boy band at Raider Alley.
We would be changing Optimum Game Day Live to just a live show of It's Not My Choice.
Since that's not happening, like, just, you know, not a shot that Choice would be opening or would be at Raider Alley with his boy band. Can we do that for an Optimum? Can we just clear the desk off for an Optimum Game Day Live? I'll give up my set for Choice's boy band.
I think we probably could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Good. Jamie has the win. Can he get the sweep? Now, this is your answering for your competitor. So in this case, you would be giving Kyler this animal, or Kyler, you would be giving Jamie this animal. What is the most inconvenient pet you could gift your competitor if money or laws, probably laws being an even bigger issue, weren't an issue?
The most inconvenient pet I could give. Money's not an issue.
Money or laws. Don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I bet if I gave Kyler an elephant, that would be a bit of a struggle over at the house. Yeah, I don't know that Father Michael would be a big fan of that.
Yeah, could you imagine the pairing of Cookie and Dumbo in the backyard?
He would probably love it, actually. He would probably be running around with it, like trying to train the elephant with the dog just outside.
You've given me something to ride into war with, you fools.
Kyler has a brother that's obsessed with sharks, so maybe we should just give them a shark. Put in the pool.
That's like, I know I'm not the only one that has, but as a child, I had an irrational fear that, like, if I went into the deep end of a pool, I always had to look underwater for just a second, just to make sure there wasn't, like, a shark or a crocodile actually there.
I can't get in a pool without checking the little skimmer thing to make sure there's not a snake in there.
Because there has been some in our pool before.
Yes.
And frogs.
Yes.
And so
probably not having to check for frogs as much as the snakes, though, unless you have, like, poisonous frogs.
The animal I'm going to give Jamie is a cheetah. And so you're trying to put it up, but it's just running away from you, just sprinting, and you're just trying to chase it. And it's just, you can never get it to be because it's so fast. It just runs around everywhere. You can't even keep it contained in one area.
Mm-hmm.
You've given Jamie a workout partner. I think he would actually enjoy that.
Can I teach it to chase down tennis balls?
Yeah, exactly. Hello, my little prairie dog hunter. How are you?
Oh, yeah.
It will be brooms today. Well done. It's a lot closer than what it looks like officially on the board, but it is a sweep for Jamie Lint. Congratulations, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I still want to see the elephant over there in Kyler's backyard.
The difference, it's kind of like Kronk and Kiwi at my house between the Chihuahua and the Pyrenees mix. The cleaning up after them, much different shovel sizes. Much different baggy sizes as well.
Yes.
That would be a concern. It is the bottom line, 1.7 score, score.com. Rolling right along.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. A Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for spending part of yours with us. Clint Scott, Jamie Lent, Kyler Carrasco behind the glass. Jamie, you and I have been wrong several times. Just in life, in the show, part of it. But especially for this segment, you know, we always like to offer up to our cohorts here and to the Yates Flooring Center chat line the opportunity to tell us that we're wrong. Well, today making her possibly being wrong debut, Kyler Carrasco. Kyler, the floor is yours.
I'm rarely wrong, so we'll see if this will be the first.
Spoken like a typical teenage girl.
Fair.
Which we know
I can
that the
say
word,
this because I have two of them at my house.
Which we know that the word teenage wasn't used until the year
1932.
Pretty close. That was 1920s. Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that was the I've used before. That wasn't that interesting. But I'm going to pretend so I can move on past this conversation.
Why do you know the date?
Because I knew it from it being an interesting fact brought to you by Dosakis.
I was hoping
yesterday.
Just like for fun, you just didn't like just go look up.
No, that's walking around knowledge for Clint Scott.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably fair. Hey, did you know that in the Alien movies, their drool was KY jelly?
Yes. Because you told me.
I wouldn't know that unless I heard from you, probably.
Did you know that if you ground up every person in the world into a meatball, they would take City Park in New York?
What?
I'm remembering my favorites. You weren't. These are very confusing to you. I'm trying to remember my most off-the-wall,
so
most interesting facts.
Give
and
it
that's
to
what
us
Jamie,
again. So if you ground up... Was every it, human in the world
it was
every, and made it into a large meatball, it would be the size of Central Park.
Yeah, that's what it was. Because you remember then we were comparing
people. I mean, you throwing flags on this one?
That's you were here for this
so
one.
So random. Yeah. I just have no idea like how that...
The ones that mess with Jamie the most, those two, and then me telling him that he shared DNA with a banana.
Yes.
Why have I never had any funny ones
Kyler,
like these?
But it was like 75% the same DNA or something.
It wasn't that high, but it was like, it was far too high than what you would have thought of for a fruit.
You to are share far DNA too with. High of what I think of.
I mean, I get it. I talked about this on Friday. I don't want bananas in my food, but it doesn't mean I have a problem with, you know, sharing DNA with them.
I just don't even know, like, where you find these facts.
I mean, I have a hard time sharing with my wife. You think I want to share with a banana?
So help Jamie, if that banana drinks a cup of coffee, it will not get a kiss. All right, Kyla, the floor is yours.
Good luck.
So, I'm not sure how much y'all have kept up with the World Cup or just seen statistics on it, but...
The U.S. team is not doing great.
Yes, they finished in a draw at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. this morning. They had to tie a win to make it into the round of 16, so...
Okay.
They made it into the round of 16, yes. My statement is that they are not going to make it past this round of 16. Tell me I'm wrong.
I will be honest. I don't know enough to confirm, because they don't even know their opponent next, right?
It's probably going to be Sweden.
Probably going to be Sweden.
And Sweden has scored at least like two or three goals each game in this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the U.S. has only scored in one game out of three.
So I'm not confident enough to agree or disagree with you as far as one specific round, but I absolutely don't think that the three-peat is going to happen. And that's hard in sport. I mean, pick a sport, pick a championship, pick a level. It is hard to do win three big ones in a row, and especially when you are playing against every country's best, right? And it's elite on elite. And they've had such a good run there for the women's team. So I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I would actually just, you know, defer to you for this. But I will say it seems like everything that's been called out about the women's team has not been bueno, not been good.
Yeah, they can't score.
And
I mean, it's like their lowest scoring number that they've ever had in the whatever stage, mm-hmm. this first stage. The numbers just don't look good. And it feels like, I mean, I don't know. It just feels like everybody believed, okay, here we go. It's three-peat. This is going to be easy again. And you're finding out how difficult that is. It just doesn't look like there's the hunger or the fire this time. They've done it two times in a row. I mean, all of those things. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think Kyler's right. I think they get knocked out next round.
And that's where some of the questions have been. It's not been like just the X's and O's. Like the want to has been questioned a lot with this year's mm-hmm. roster. Speaking of a great time to play, have you seen Carly Lloyd's comments about this team?
Because I have not.
So Kyler mentioned they do advance after a nothing-to-nothing draw with Portugal. Like 17 shots, 6 on goal, and the
Clint
Portugal
just learned what that meant.
I'm going to use it on everything. I use that when I accurately, mm-hmm. you know, get a bite of like a barbecue sandwich and I get most of the sauce.
He's now using it when he talks about his shots in basketball. Well, it didn't go in, but at least it was a shot on goal.
He was on goal. That's what's more important. But narrowly escapes the 90th minute. Portugal almost sinks one, but hits the post. And afterwards, if you haven't seen the video, I mean, they're celebrating, they're pumped, and they're going off, and they're dancing and stuff, and they go back to the old studio desk, and here was the panel, and especially Carly Lloyd's thoughts on what they were watching.
These are not the images we should be expecting to see from a team that survived Portugal and survived to get to the round of 16.
What the?
I appreciate them taking care of the fans, but let me tell you, Carly Lloyd's butt would be back in the locker room kicking things, throwing things.
I have never witnessed, and just seeing these images for the first time right now on the desk, I have never witnessed something like that. There's a difference between being respectful of the fans and saying hello to your family, but to be dancing, to be smiling. I mean, the player of the match was that post. You're lucky to not be going home right now.
That was a post.
It was also after this game, also like her and the other two commentators gave them scores of like their overall performance. Carly Lloyd gave them a D-. And then the other two, I think, gave a C and a C-. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And also, the U.S. has always been good, but now all the other countries are starting to put younger players on their teams. So they're all just getting good. Like, now they're all just catching up to what the U.S. And the U.S. is just kind of staying in one spot while all the other countries are just getting way better.
Kyler, I know there's a few holdovers from that team that won it the first time and then second time as well and back-to-back. All right. What's the like percentage of players that are still from that team?
I would say maybe like 5. Yeah, maybe like 5.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So let us know what you think on the Ace Flooring Center chat line. If you agree or disagree with Kyler. It's a good one, Kyler. We'll no, neither of us told you you're wrong though. So
like I said, I'm just rarely wrong.
I think she's right. I think she's all over this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a Jamie on Mountain Dew. All over it.
I think the round of 16 is double elimination, I think. I could be wrong, but I'm so... They have a chance, but it's you're going to run out of chances pretty quickly, so...
Yeah.
Michael said maybe if they were focused on soccer instead of not singing the anthem, they would play better. Do you like the player of the game? Was that post comment?
Post, yes, that was very good. Yeah,
that was fantastic. Good. That was really well done by Carly Lloyd.
Yeah.
Lucky to not be in going home. Mm-hmm. They do advance. I think it was the first time in 12 years they didn't win their group as well as they finished second. Yeah. It is the bottom line, 100.7. The score, 107thescore.com. We'll get some of your thoughts and comments when we come back here on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.